You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is time for us to get into our study of the questions that you send to us. The idea is for us not only to ask the question, but to understand the answer that will follow. And that's what we do on Ask a Pastor. And Ask a Pastor, like any other day, is dedicated to you as the listener. You send your questions, and my producer finds you a pastor who's going to be able to answer your question. And the pastors are always, particularly Seventh-day Adventist pastors. I'm not bragging, but I am confident that Seventh-day Adventist pastors don't only read your questions and blather away. Our pastors have the obligation, they feel burdened to go and do research and find what the Bible says. And then when they come here, they share with us what the Bible says in attempts to point you in the right direction. Remember, pastors don't have answers. They simply point you to the scriptures, and you prayerfully read your scriptures in order for the Almighty Yah to give you the answers. And today is no different. We do have on the line Pastor Ongwenya joining us to give us some perspective on today's question. Funis, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. How are you? And welcome to all our listeners.
Good afternoon, Funis. Thank you very much. I'm very well. I trust you too are well. Our question for today is, how do you address concerns about nepotism in church leadership structures?
Come again?
Nepotism, Funis. How do you address concerns about nepotism in church leadership structures? And before you answer, I want you to realize we are going to the general conference session this year. Many people have made so many statements about how a particular family is using a particular position as a family dynasty. So you may very well understand why this question is coming up. So please, the question is, how do you address concerns about nepotism in church leadership structures?
Well, I may not dwell much on the perceived family movement and interpretations of the family, but all I can say is the Bible condemns nepotism, tribalism, racism in all its forms. So it's against biblical teaching. In Acts, it is God who placed people in the various places in our globe. So we cannot afford to separate each other based on color, based on tribe. The ground is level at the cross. So when God looks at us, what God expects from us is faithfulness and obedience to Him. He doesn't look at color, but He looks at how have we been faithful to His word.
Well, our question for today is exclusively about nepotism, not tribalism, not racism, not any of the other ills that are legitimate that you are raising right now. Our question for today is focusing on family dynamics, family making family succeed them in leadership, or making sure they arrange that their family succeed them in church leadership structures. That's our question for today. We need you to just guide us there. So you said the Bible is against nepotism. Would you like to share with us where in the Bible it says that, Mfundis?
Well, about families, I would have quickly switched to Melchizedek, who wasn't of the line of Levi, but he was the high priest of God, and many other examples in the Bible. And then you come to the New Testament, where there was an argument over how people should be accepted into Christendom. And the answer was, we should not make them Jews first before they can be accepted. So salvation has nothing to do with which tribe I come from. salvation is open to all. And when we have come together, we are a family.
Okay.
In the family, we accept each, everyone is accepted as a child of God.
Perhaps we need to first define what nepotism is, Mfundisi, because I totally agree with you. If we were to discuss the issue of tribalism and racism, fair enough, that would be a fair point to make. But when we're talking about nepotism, I want to give you some definitions and then see if you agree with them. And then we can pick up from there. Is that okay, Mfundisi?
No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Right. The Cambridge Dictionary defines nepotism as the act of using your power or influence to get good jobs or unfair advantages for members of your own family. Do you agree with that definition? That's from the Cambridge English Dictionary. The act of using your power or influence.
I agree with that.
Yes. Okay, you agree with it. All right,
yes.
Well, that's fine. Okay, it's good. It sounds like it's going to be easier than I thought that. So we have examples in the Bible. We have examples of let's go to the from the very beginning. God decides that priesthood is going to be family oriented. It's going to be from a family of one man, and that man is Aaron, the descendants of Aaron.
Okay.
Now, Aaron was a Levite, was coming from the tribe of Levi, but his brother Moses came from the tribe of Levi as well. But God did not want priests to come from the descendants of Moshe or Moses. He wanted the children to come from the tribe of Levi, but from the house of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron.
Okay.
Now the question is that not nepotism to make sure that only the children of one particular person become priests and high priests ultimately? I mean, Moses is the one who began this whole revolution. Why couldn't he? But God said, no. Aaron. So a question is, isn't that nepotism?
Just to give a context to that, you are talking of a situation where God was the overall ruler. It was a theocracy.
Right.
And we wouldn't compare it with what is happening. And again, it was God. It is God's prerogative
to choose
leadership.
Right, right.
And so that's the way that he used at the time, at the particular time, to choose who would take that responsibility.
Right.
I wouldn't term that nepotism.
Okay.
I think it becomes nepotism when it's coming from me and trying to create space
right
for those that come from my family.
That's
but in that
right.
instance, it was God himself
right
who chose leadership.
Right.
It was a theocracy.
Yeah.
That's the context that probably need to understand.
I've heard that argument before, and I imagined you would answer that way. Then let's go to another thing that was not from God. Dynasties and kings were not God's idea for man, isn't it? Kings were not God's form of governance of choice. Can we agree on that?
Well, of course, when we're picking from the election of the choosing of Saul.
No.
To become the
no,
king.
No. For now, I'm just talking about the governance by monarchies is not God's way of leadership. God's way of leadership is theocracy. Not monarchies, not democracy, not meritocracy. Theocracy. When we speak of monarchies, that's not godly. That's not divine leadership. Can we agree on that?
Yes, but that's a different context because it's after the theocracy that we were talking about.
I agree with
that's
you.
Just
I agree with you.
That is.
I agree
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, so,
so when we are talking about monarchies, this is the idea of man and how monarchies move from one king to another. It has to do with a king being nepotistic, isn't it, Pastor?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, from that worldly, perspective, that's true. But I want to believe that in our context is different because it is through a system, a process that leaders are elected, which is kind of different from the dynasties that we were talking about.
I understand. My question was about how God allowed a human construct of governance to be the order of the day, a nepotistic form of leadership where a king would appoint his own child to be the next king. That was nepotism. When God allowed that, the kingship will never depart from the house of David, that promise was a nepotistic promise. God was endorsing a human form of nepotism, isn't it?
Not really. I think if we take it, if you consider that it's not coming from David, neither is it coming from Aaron. It is God himself.
No, Fundis. Kings didn't come from God. God was against his children having kings. There is nowhere where God institutes kings. God simply accepts the desire for Israel to have a king. There is nowhere in the Bible you're going to find it where they wanted, God said, now I want people to have kings. Nowhere.
Yes, but then he allowed that to
yes.
be the way people are governed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. He allowed it.
He is the man after God's own heart.
Right. So I agree with you.
Yeah. So while it was in his original intention, God has allowed it to be a way that people are government.
Absolutely.
He overrules.
Absolutely.
To see that these governments rule in a manner that attends to the needs of the people.
Well, not quite, because we know Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and many other kings did not rule according to God's will. So that's neither here nor there. But that's not even our conversation for today. Our question for today is, so God is for nepotism. If we are to follow how God endorsed that Saul's intention was for Jonathan to be the next king, that was according to Saul's desire in his heart. That was nepotism. David was obvious. I mean, that's how kings rule. That's how monarchies are run. God endorsed nepotism. Would that not be fair?
Would it be better for us to look at the context after the theocracy in the New Testament, the New Covenant, you know, way of doing things? Wouldn't that be a kind of blueprint that we could follow? How did God choose leadership in the early church? Maybe if we could focus on that, I think it might help us in dealing with nepotism.
Well, that would be cherry picking, what is generally called a confirmation bias. We ignore the truths that are not for our argument. We focus only the truths that support our. That's confirmation bias, isn't it?
Not really. What I say is, we're talking about, like I said, when did the theocracy end? Does God still expect? Does God still rule in the same manner as he ruled during the time of theocracy?
Right.
If that is not what is happening now, I think we may do well to look at another, you know, paradigm.
Yeah.
That, almost applies to our situation.
Yeah. So in the New Testament, we are told to respect all governments because God set them up, right?
Yes.
I need you to be sure about that, Mpunis, because the next question is not is not going to be very very pleasant.
If I was putting a finger on the base, it would be saying because God ordained, which to me means he overrules whatever means they would have come in there. The fact that he is allowed,
yes,
he has allowed them to be in that seat.
Yeah.
So in that way, we accept them as leadership from God.
Let's go to the verse of Funis so that you understand where my question is based. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Really, it doesn't matter which version you have, you can read, still says the same thing. From the one that I have before me, the New International Version, it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So this one doesn't say God allowed it. It says God has established it. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now that's Paul's letter to the Romans. So that one doesn't speak about, no, he has allowed it. You know, he overrules. No, 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 no. The government of the Assyrians, God established it. The government of the Babylonians, God established. The government of the Medo-Persians, God established it. The government of Nebuchadnezzar himself, God established it. All of these governments, according to this verse, were established by God. Even that the very bad government of Herod, it was established by God. Caesar's government, which was very bad, it was established by God. Nero's government, who even accused the Christians of burning down, it was established by God. Would that not be correct? Even those nepotistic regimes at the time when Jesus walked the earth, according to this verse, they were established by God, isn't it, Mponis?
I think let's look at the principle. What is the principle that Paul wants to communicate?
Okay, okay.
Paul was speaking against unnecessary resistance to government.
Okay.
He wanted Christians to live. We are a church in the community, for the community.
Right.
We should be loyal to the government, you know.
Right.
Living for harmony.
Right.
So Paul is saying, he's talking about, you know, unnecessary resistance.
Yes.
To government.
Yes. I'm okay with that. I totally agree with you, Mponis, but he doesn't go leave it there. The first part, part A of the verse, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, that addresses what you're saying. It's part B and part C of that verse. That is what is interesting for me. Part B says, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And then he stamped it in part C when he says, the authorities that exist have been established by God. It changes tenor now, Funis, eh?
Yeah, I think the point is that the fact that this government now is the government of the day.
Right.
God has overruled, has allowed it. So he talks to me now as a Christian.
Right.
How do I conduct myself?
Right.
As a citizen of, under this leadership.
Right.
So the principle that Paul is communicating, that the fact that this government is the accepted government of the day.
Right.
I should not unnecessarily resist the government.
Right, right.
As long as whatever it...
Even if it's nepotistic, Mfundisi.
Sir?
Even if the government is nepotistic.
Yeah, but the point is, God allows. The fact that God allows does not mean he's the one who would have, you know...
Well, this version doesn't say he allowed it, Mfundis. Paul there, when he writes the Romans, he doesn't say he allows. He says God establishes. He my version says he establishes. We could go to other versions. If you have the interlinear, mine says they've been placed by God. Part C says, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. That's a New Living Translation. English Standard Version says, and those that exist have been instituted by God. The Berean Study Bible says, the authorities that exist have been appointed by God. So none of them are as passive as you're suggesting they are. They are not just allowed. God ordains. I mean, the King James Version, it used the word, the powers that be are ordained of God. I'm Mfundisi. So even if they are nepotistic, they are ordained by God.
Well, the overarching principle is that the fact that this government is now the government of the day.
Right.
I should not be hostile.
Yes.
I should not be going around carrying placards. You know?
Right, right.
I should not, you know, but we should work for harmony. And
yes.
So, Christians should be peace-loving.
Yes.
Law-abiding.
Even if the government has been nepotistically put there.
That's the principle that is being communicated.
I agree with
you. Christians, the fact that this is the government of the day.
Yes.
I should work, you know, with the government in whatever capacity to build the nation in whatever level that
right.
I am, and and strive for peace.
Right.
And I should be a law-abiding citizen.
Absolutely.
I think that's the principle that is being communicated there.
So now back to the person who asked the question. So the person is asking about, what if that government is put there by nepotism? Now, you and I know that governments around the world have been using all sorts of fraud to come to office, whether they are selling votes or buying votes, whether they are bribing this or doing that, all forms of way, including nepotism. But the Bible teaches us now this principle is, once Caesar has ascended to the throne, or even Brutus has ascended to the throne, it doesn't really matter who ascends to the throne. The moment they ascend there, you must just submit to them. However they got there, even if it's by way of nepotism. Is that what we are saying now, Mfundisi?
Yes, what we're saying is, if God would have not wanted it to go that way,
yeah,
he would have prevented it from happening.
Ah!
But the fact that he has allowed it to
yeah.
come to fruition,
yeah.
Myself as a Christian,
yeah.
I should strive for peace,
yeah.
And there should be law abiding.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what brought that government into power, as long as it is the recognized government of the day.
Yeah.
As a Christian, I'm obliged to abide by the laws and the rules
yeah.
that are propagated by that government, as long as it doesn't violate the law of God.
Right. Wow. Wow. Okay. So now, would that apply to the church as well? Because we do know that sin is not happening out there. Sin is happening here also in the church. Wrongdoing is not only happening out there. Wrongdoing happens in the church as well. Nepotism doesn't happen only out there. It happens here in church. Would the principle, the beautiful principle you outline now, apply to church leadership positions as well? That even if a church leader has been appointed to leadership by way of nepotism, we must just be peace-loving, obedient, submissive members of the Christian fold, right?
Yes. The fact that God has allowed that person, regardless of how they came into that office,
yeah,
the fact that he has overruled,
yeah,
he has allowed it to go that way,
right?
As a believer, I should work in harmony with
ah.
them to build the kingdom of God.
Ah, unkabilim for this. Ah, you finished.
They are in the office.
Yeah,
the fact that they are in the office.
Yeah. No, you're finished. You've told me, you've shut me up. I am left with no ammunition but to bow. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I appreciate your leadership and your guidance. Have a wonderful day, brother. See you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Mfundisi.
I hope this has helped us.
I hope so too. I hope so too. The person who asked the question, I'm hoping they have been helped. Thank you, Mfundisi.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.